Thank you, Pastor Ken. Well, hello, everybody watching online. How is everybody doing tonight? It's a little nicer out there. Beautiful day today. Not too cold. And the sun was shining. It's a great day in the Bay. Amen. Well, hopefully y'all are doing good. And it's exciting times that we're going to be back together on Sunday morning. Now, we'll still be streaming as well, so don't go worrying. You can still catch us online, those of you that are out of town. But if you're in Thunder Bay, we hope to see you here. Or if you're close by, you know, you can definitely come on in on Sunday morning. And so, like Pastor Ken had said, we are going to have, once again, limited seating capacity because of the rules. So you want to come a bit early to make sure you get a good seat as well. But we'll be here. All of our ushers and greeters will be here with big smiles on, ready to greet y'all. Hopefully you smile with our eyes because we'll be wearing masks. But we love you guys and looking forward to seeing y'all. All right, well, there's lots going on. We got hockey games tonight, and we got Winter Bible Seminar going tonight, and we got church here tonight. It's a busy night, I tell you. But tonight we're going to have a little conversation talking about our identity. If I was to put a title on this tonight, I would call this, Who Are You? Let's ask the question, Who Are You? Have you ever been asked that question? Who are you? And our text this evening is coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. And we'll read it from the Amplified Version. And it says, Now that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupt through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike, and the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. Amen. Well, we start off tonight by asking the question, Who are you? And we can ask that question around here. And, you know, if I was asked, you know, who are you? I'd probably start explaining, well, my name is Steve Huzzy. Let me see. I'm here on staff at Faith City Church. I'm married to Kendra. I have four beautiful children. I'm originally from Portygrave, Newfoundland. I went to Rhema Bible College and graduated in 2009. Let me think what else. I like puppy dogs. Love the snow, not so much the minus 40, but I love winter. Love hunting and fishing and outdoors. Like my snow machines, kayaking, boats. I like those things. I like action movies. My favorite drink would be a decaf orange pico tea with one milk from Tim Hortons. And I also much so like Lay's lightly salted potato chips. They are my favorite potato chips. Amen. Lay's lightly salted. I know, eh? Just plain Jane. I love music. Love campfires. What else do I like? I'm trying to figure this out here. You know, fun fact about myself. Years ago, I used to be a stamp collector, and I had a huge collection of mail stamps. And actually, quite recently, in some old boxes, we found the collection, didn't we, Miss Kendra? And it's just rekindling that fire. Not really. But, you know, that's just kind of a glimpse of who I am. Now, those things don't define who I am, but that's just, you know, that's some things about me. Now, we need to have an understanding of who we really are, and our identification, and what belongs to us, and who we are, and what we do, and all those things. Now, you got to understand something, is that we have to know our identification ourselves, because how can we explain ourselves, or how can we be something when we don't know who we are? You see, as believers, we have a responsibility to know our identification. We have a responsibility to know what belongs to us, what blessings belongs to us, what God has done for us, what Christ has done for us, what the Holy Spirit is doing through us. We have that responsibility to have that alive on the inside of us. Now, I want you to turn over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. It says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. You see, ladies and gentlemen, our identification is in Christ once we become born again. Now, what does that mean? Our identification is in Christ once we became born again. Well, we're going to look into this a little bit more and have a bit of a better understanding of what took place here for us. All throughout Scripture, we see more and more of the picture about who we truly are. Before we were born again, we were of this world. We were doing things of this world, and, you know, we had struggles, and things went on, and, you know, we weren't serving Christ. And, you know, we still, to this day, once we are born again, you're still going to face trials and temptations, and all these things are going to pop up and try and mess with you. The devil's going to try and get you off track and mess you up and get you off your A game and all those fun things. But our identification is in Christ. So we're going to, for the next little while, we're going to have a look at what this looks like. So what does our new identification look like? Well, we just read there in Romans chapter 3, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. We are made right because we put our faith in Jesus. Well, what's that thing called when we put our faith in Jesus? It's called salvation. And so once we become saved, born again, well, then a change starts happening. Something starts happening on the inside. So what does this new identification look like? Well, Romans 3, verse 24, New Living Translation says, yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. You see, we are justified. We are made righteous. So we are in the place where we need to be with God. When we go all the way back to the book of Genesis and we see Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve actually walked with God. They had quite the relationship with the Father. Scripture tells us that they walked with God in the cool of the evening. Can you imagine going for a stroll around Boulevard Lake and here's God next to you and you're just hanging out with God and just relaxing, enjoying life and chatting about things? You know, and this is what Adam and Eve done. They walked with God, you know, in the Garden of Eden. Now, because of what took place in the garden when Adam and Eve messed up and they allowed sin come in, you know, they were deceived by the devil. There was a big division that was caused and that separated man from God. The relationship was strained and there was a big separation there. And then came into this perfect plan of redemption to bring God and man back on together because, you know, man was God's prized possession. It was God's greatest creation. And so, therefore, God wanted companionship. God loved His creation. God loved us so much that He put this perfect plan of redemption back in place. And because of what Jesus did now, and because we can accept Him as our Lord and personal Savior, that brings us back onto God. So because there was a schism that took place there in Genesis, in the garden, and because there was a big divide put there between God and man, a big separation, Jesus bridged the gap, so that we could come back onto the Father. So, we are justified. Verse 24, once again there, in Romans chapter 3, it says, yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. When you are right in someone's sight, that means you're good. That means you're in the place you need to be. You are justified. So that means that you are the way it was intended to be. Well, man, I've messed up. I've done a lot of bad things, you know. I'm not a good person. Well, you know what? God sees you as perfect when you ask for His forgiveness. When you've accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are brought back onto God. See, He doesn't see us as ugly and gross and despicable, but we are made right in His sight. Jesus paid the price so that we could be made right with God. Amen? That's exciting to know. What else is in this identification? What else does this look like? Well, The second one is there's no condemnation awaits us. Well, what does that mean? Well, turn over in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to give you all a lot of scripture tonight. Hopefully that's okay, but this is church and message time, so we're going to be using the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 in New Living Translation says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." God don't see us as condemned for what we did in our past. Isn't that good to know that God does not hold that against you for what you've done in your past? You think about some of the things that you've done. Oh, bunch of dirty sinners. No. But we were saved, amen? We were no longer, that no longer belongs to us because God doesn't hold us to that anymore once we ask for forgiveness. Scripture tells us that was cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Gone. Woo! Out of here. Blotted out. That no longer is an existence in your life. Now the old enemy, the old devil, he's going to try and bring that back up to your remembrance. Well, you remember that thing that you did that one time? And hey, you know, God really didn't forgive you for that. You know, you got mad at that woman in the drive-thru, or you cussed out that neighbor of yours, or you cut someone off, or, you know, you were cheering for Toronto Maple Leafs, just those things like that. Oh, and so it begins. I'm joking. I want to love Toronto. I really do. We'll talk about that a little later. It's just healing. It's healing, Pastor says. I have a Boston mask here in my pocket. All right, anyhow. Where were we? We're talking about no condemnation awaits us. See, God's not looking at us from heaven. And like, you ever go to like to a video game arcade or something like that, and there's a game called Whack-A-Mole? And then, you know, you got to bash these little creatures that pop up through the hole on the head with this bat. You know what I'm talking about? The Whack-A-Mole? Well, God is not up in heaven waiting for us to mess up or trying to bring back to our remembrance, you know, every time we messed up. So every time he pops up our head, it's like, oh, no, oh, he messed up, bang, smacked you over the head. No, that's not the way God is. God's not there, and he's not going to try and bring that back upon you or anything of the sort, because that was gone. Jesus died over 2,000 years ago for our sin, our shame, our sickness, the diseases, all that condemnation, all those things Jesus died for, and he brought to hell, and he left it there. Amen? So that no longer belongs to you. So in your identification, well, a part of that is that there's no condemnation that belongs to you anymore. Amen? Now, like I said, the devil's going to try and remind you of your past, but that's all he can do because that's no longer yours. It no longer belongs to you. All right, that went over like a ton of bricks. We'll keep going then. Well, we have been set free from sin as well. That's in our identification. What? Romans 8, 2. It says, "And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." Man, how many of you have sinned in here? Or out there? Anybody? You better raise that hand. You right there. Yep. Scripture says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But right here, it says here in Romans 8, 2, "And being you belong to him, the power of the life-saving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." You see, once we accepted Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, he tossed us this beautiful life raft, man. And he hauled us into safety. And you know what? We are no longer bound for eternal spiritual death, but we will have eternal life with him. Hallelujah. We are set free from sin. We're no longer bound by sin. We are no longer a slave to sin. It's no longer ours. The beauty of this is God is so rich of mercy and grace that if we do mess up, we do slip up, all we have to do is say, "Father God, I am sorry, forgive me." And then that's it. Now, that's not an excuse to keep going back and doing the same thing over and over again, though. We learn from our mistakes. We pick ourselves up. We dust ourselves off. We don't stay there in the mud when we trip up and when we fall. You know, you ever been walking down somewhere and you trip up and fall? You know, as a kid, sometimes you fall in the mud puddle and you're splashing. Do you stay there? No, you get up and you might be a little dirty, a little wet, but you get up and you brush yourself off and you keep on going. We have been set free from sin. We have been set free from spiritual death, Scripture tells us. You know, it's exciting to see how all this works because we're starting to get a better picture on who we are. It's starting to look really good. The next one here that show us our identification a little clearer here, number four is we are sanctified. We are made holy in Jesus Christ. Turn over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. And it says, I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Now, let's just camp out here for a second. A holy life. A holy life is that of a reflection of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. You see, we were made righteous. That's who we are once we became born again. And now we are to live a holy, segregated, set-apart life. That means that our life reflects what happened to us and what Christ done for us. So what does that look like? Well, you know, the way we talk, the way we act, the things we do, the way we treat others. It has to be honoring and uplifting and showing and giving glory to God in our life and what we do. You know, one of our kids in our youth group, you know, she used to say this. She goes, you might be the only Bible anybody or certain people will read. And, you know, that's kind of interesting to think about because there's going to be times when you're not going to have an opportunity to get on your soapbox and preach on the corner. But by your actions and the way you treat other people and, you know, by your attitude, people see that you're different. And because that's a part of your identification in Christ, because you are a reflection of him. That's who we are. We have to put that on. We have to act that out. We have to do something. To live a holy, separate life, that means we have to do the work. You know, it's a response to our new identity in Christ Jesus, is what this is. We are to imitate and to model ourselves after Christ. Now, in Bible college, I just taught a course called The Life of Christ, and we went through it in 8 weeks, and boy, we barely scratched the surface. But one thing that I really enjoyed about this was looking at the characteristics of Christ, seeing his humility, and seeing how he honored other people, and how he conducted himself in tough situations, you know? And there's times when I was reading the scripture, and I was preparing for class, or even talking in class, and, you know, I was having these thoughts to myself, be like, man, oh man, if I was in that scenario, how would I handle it? Well, the beauty of this is that, you know, we imitate him. He had people come against him all the time. He had people, they tried to stone him, throw him off the edge of a cliff in his own town. You know, they made fun of him. His own brothers even rejected him. You know, he faced trials and tribulations. When he was in the desert, he was tempted by the devil for about 40 days. You know, he faced stuff, man. But here's the thing. He conquered. He got through it. He didn't give in and say, oh, woe is me. But he stood firm. He knew what the Word of God said. He knew what was on the inside of him, and he acted on it. Even dear old brother Paul. You know, Paul, man, he was shipwrecked how many times? Beaten, left for dead? But he held fast to his confession. And he believed in what Jesus was. He believed in the gospel. He believed in what God was doing. And he knew that he had a job to do. And so he lived a wholly segregated life. Amen. All right. Let's keep going here. So what else does our identification in Christ look like? What's another part of this? Well, number five, it says we are pure and holy in Christ. What? Corinthians 1:30. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I left out a number. If it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I can't remember. I just got Corinthians written here, Miss Kendra. I am sorry. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. God sees us as perfect once again. God sees us as if we'd never sinned. You know, we made us the way that we are intended to be. We are back in unity with God. Hallelujah! That's good to know. Another one here. Number 6. We are a new person. What do you mean? Well, this is our identification. We are a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the New Living Translation. In verse 17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So now you don't identify as that old person as you used to be. Oh, you know, we refer to it as the good old days every now and then. Well, when I was out on the railroad or out on the farm or out on the water or when I was out on this or when I would go down around town, oh, the good old memories, you know. And every now and then we like to sit around and reminisce about the good old days. Some of you guys, the good old days were only yesterday. Praise God. Pastor's laughing at me. Maybe yesterday was a good old day. But, you know, that's not who we are. That's not a part of our lives anymore. We're a new person. This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and new life has begun. So if you've accepted Jesus, those things that you were involved in no longer belongs to you. That's interesting. Well, you still might struggle with addictions. You still might have those cravings for those things. You still might have those thoughts. Yep. But Scripture says that's not who you are anymore. Now you have that power on the inside of you to manage to overcome and conquer that and come out triumphant. Because that's a part of the old person. Amen? You are now a new person in Christ. We're no longer who we used to be. Those things in the past are now gone, and we are a new creature in Christ. We don't dwell in the past. We don't stay there in the past. It's good to learn from the past, but now we have a bright, shiny new future, walking hand in hand with God, going forward, doing what we're supposed to be doing. There's going to be stumbling blocks. There's going to be things coming our way, but guess what? With Christ, you can overcome. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's what Scripture tells us. And so, that's who you are. You are a new person. Point to yourself and say, I'm a new person. Say it a little louder. I'm a new person. Wow. I can hear them through the cameras. It's amazing. Well, you are a new person. And that's good to know. You're no longer that person that was back there. You've changed. Why? Because you got Jesus on the inside of you. Man, oh man, the king of the universe, the guy that created the whole thing, that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You are connected to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Man, Scripture tells us every spiritual blessing belongs to us. That's who you are. All right, here's another one for us to look at real quick. In Ephesians 1:7, it shows us here that our sins are taken away and we are forgiven. Verse 7, it says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. That's kind of interesting because you think about all the dirty stuff that we've done in our past. You know, you think about all the things that we've said and, you know, the thoughts that we've done and or thought about and, you know, the people that we've lied to or the things we've cheated on. That's all been taken away because we've accepted him. We have been forgiven. He took away all of our yucky. Amen? He took away all of our yucky. Here's another one for you. We are God's masterpiece. I like this one, Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living Translation. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things He planned for us long ago." You see, ladies and gentlemen, because of our identification is in Christ, well then, we are not a mistake. You're not a screw-up. You're not stupid. You know, people might have called you that in the past, but you are a prized possession of God. You are God's masterpiece. Well, it says right there in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." So God, right from before the foundations of the earth was laid, He had plans and purposes for you. And they are good plans. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And they're good plans. You see, right from the very get-go, God had plans for each and every one of us. And because we are God's masterpiece, well, if you're a masterpiece, that means you're created by the Master and that you're the way He intended it to be. You're something special. One of a kind. Praise God. You know, you have been created for such a time as this. You've been created for the right now. It's amazing to think about the people that you will influence in your lifetime. Whether it be good or bad, but that's on you. Lots of times we tend to mess up, and you know, sometimes we can leave a not-so-nice impression on people. But we need to be striving for that positive influence. You know, we need to be striving for that. We belong to God because we were created in His image as well. We got to understand that we were created in the likeness of God. Right back in Genesis, all the way back there, it says, God, when God was creating everything, it said, "Let us make man in our image." He was talking to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was talking there. And He said, "Let us make man in our image." You're made in the image of God. Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, it's sad to say, but many Christians today struggle with this big time. For whatever reason, people tend to think that they're unworthy, that they're not righteous, that they're not good enough, that they're not smart enough, that they can't, you know, speak well enough, or they can't do something good enough. Let me tell you something. This little boy right here in front of you tonight, this little newfie boy, growing up in school, man, I struggled something hard. And, you know, I was called everything under the sun, picked on, bullied, wasn't in the good graces of all my teachers by no means. And, you know, there was many times I heard the word stupid directed in my direction. Well, let me tell you something. After you hear that a few times, you almost start believing it. Now, listen, let me tell you something. I know I'm not the greatest, you know, mechanic, or I'm not the greatest carpenter, or not the greatest musician, not the greatest preacher, not the greatest. But you know something? I'm going to do the best I can unto the Lord. Because I'm doing it unto the Lord. And so we have to see this, is that we don't have to feel like we're down and that we can't do it. We don't have to feel unworthy. God made you worthy. Jesus died on the cross, so you don't have to feel inferior. Because of who He is and what He done for me and you, we can come to God boldly. So because we can come to God boldly, because we are His children. And see, once we get an understanding of all this, that our sin's taken away, that we were put in the right place, that we're in right standing with God, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, that our sins are taken away and that they are forgiven. You know, that we are a new person in Christ. And then here's another interesting one here. In Ephesians 1:3, it tells us here we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So, you know, part of our identification is we are blessed. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, all praise to God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Let me tell you something. Your identification, you are connected to Christ. You are in Christed. God is a part of you. You are engrafted together. You cannot separate something like that. That's who you are. Christ has given us all the benefits of knowing God, the salvation, the adoption as His own. We've got forgiveness. We have wisdom. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We have power. We have eternal life. We have all those things. All those spiritual blessings belong to me and you. So there's no good to go telling me I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I can't do this, I can't do that. You have God on the inside of you. Scripture says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. When I came to Faith City Church, man, I didn't know I had certain skills until I got here. And you get thrusted into it. And let me tell you something, you start learning how to do stuff. Take the opportunity to do it. Don't say, no, I can't run in, you know, with the kids, I can't play with the kids, I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't run the soundboard, I can't run the camera. Don't go saying I can't. You're a new creature in Christ. You'll be surprised what you can do when you start trying. Amen? Man, it's quiet in this church tonight. Wait a minute. There's not many people in here. Okay, sorry. We as believers, we're not meant to be down and out, but yet we're meant to be blessed and have more than enough. I'm going to tell you, 2020 for a lot of people was a rough year. And don't get me wrong, it was we had its ups and downs, and 2021 hasn't been looking so great either. But for me and my family, it was one of the greatest blessing years we've ever had. We've seen increase in finances. We've seen different things that we were able to do, different things as a family. We're doing renovations to the house, which is continuing on, praise Jesus. You know, and we're thanking the Lord that all that is paid off cash. Hallelujah, cash, hallelujah. Things are getting paid off, bills are being paid off. You know, we really don't have any debt. I think the only thing we got is just a mortgage payment. You know, vehicles are all paid off, praise Jesus. You know, keeps up with our bills. We use the credit cards, but that's just to get the points and the air miles. You know, we pay that off. One of these days, we believe we'll be able to fly somewhere again. If not, well, I guess we'll use our cash miles and go get gas or groceries at Sobeys or something or whatever. What's a Safeway? There you go. You know? But let me tell you, children of God, brother and sisters, come on now. We are supposed to be blessed. And I consider myself blessed. My children are happy. They're healthy. They're enjoying life. You know, we got this year, or in 2020, we got blessed with another beautiful baby, baby Aaliyah. And she brings so much joy to the house. And that little girl, if you want to see a blessed child, oh my goodness, that baby is blessed. Just this week, we had a phone call from some friends of ours. And they said, come over to the house, we have something for Aaliyah. And when we went over to the house, we had this big, massive, I want to call it a Santa Claus sack. It was huge. This bag was full of stuff for baby Aaliyah. Clothing with tags all on it, new stuff, and baby stuff. I don't know, all types of odds and ends. And we were going through this, and I was just shocked, you know. And I was just thanking the Lord for His blessings on my life, on my family, for my kids. Because let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. All you parents out there, you walk in the way that God wants you to be, the blessing's going to affect you, and it's going to run all the way down to your children. This is a rabbit trail we're going down, but it's a good rabbit trail. Your family will be blessed because of your obedience. Amen? All right. Number 10 point. I can't believe we're doing it. We can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Your identification is, and then why can you come boldly and confidently into God's presence? Well, Ephesians 3:12, it says, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Because of our identification in Christ, we can go into God, come before God with full confidence. So when we go to God in prayer, it's, oh, Father, don't smite me, almighty smiter. You know? It was, oh, Lord, if you have time, hear my prayer. No, it's, Father God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that you hear me. That, Father God, I know what your word says, and I stand upon your word. It says that my body is healed, healthy, and old. Lord, I thank you right now for my healing in my body. I thank you that my bank account is filled up. I thank you for blessings coming my way. I thank you for job opportunities coming my way. I thank you for good relationships coming my way. Lord, I thank you for all these things right now in the name of Jesus. We can come boldly to the throne of God. And when we pray, we got power in our prayer. Man, we have benefits in that. We don't have to come to God sheepishly like, oh, Lord, you know, if you can just spare a moment. No, that's not the way it is. My children, when they come into the house, they know it's their house. They can come in, swing the door open, and run on in, and they know that's their house. They can come boldly. You know, when we're around here to church, they know where our office is. And they don't come in and knock on the door and it's like, oh, can we come in, Mom and Dad? The door swings open and the kids come on in. They get on their couch and, you know. Well, that's the way it is with us. We are the children of God. We get to come to our Father with that boldness, with that confidence. You know, my kids don't come to me and be like, oh, Father, can I speak to you? I usually got three or four of them talking to me at the same time. You know? And so, you know, that's funny, but it's true. That's the way we come to the Father. We come to God. We burst the doors open, and it's like, I'm here, Lord! Father God, I just thank you for being so good. You know, we can come to God boldly because we are adopted. We belong to Him. We are adopted into His kingdom. Here's another one for you. We are members of Christ's body, the church. Ephesians 5, 29 and 30. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. This is another, you know, shows us a little bit more of our identification. We are members of his body. You are a member of the body of Christ. We are part of the church, ladies and gentlemen, so we got something we need to be doing. Once we became born again, we became something a lot bigger than us. You know, bigger than Faith City Church. It's bigger than Thunder Bay. You're a part of an international, worldwide body of believers. And Jesus is the head of that. And we are members of that body. You are connected up. That's who you are. You know, you can look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27, and we can see all about that there. The human body is made up of many parts, it says in verse 12, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Each and every one of us have a job that we're supposed to be doing. Your identification, who you are, is in Christ. You belong to God. Our identification is in Christ. That's who we are. People may try and put you down. Situations may come and try and step on you and mess you up. But who you really are is dictated by God. So, let's do a quick recap here on who we are. Your identification in Christ is, this is who you are. You are blessed. You are healed. You are prosperous. You are righteous. You are not condemned. You are a child of God. You are forgiven. You are set free. You have eternal life. You're pure and holy. You're God's masterpiece. You're a member of the body, the church of Christ. You are blessed with authority. You are made complete in Christ. You are a new person in Christ. That's who you are. So the next time the devil comes knocking on your door and trying to tell you you're unworthy, you're garbage, you're trash, you're stupid, you know, you're this, you're that, you say, nah, Mr. Devil, that's not who I am. The scripture tells me who I am. You see, if you go on a flight somewhere, or if you go, say, if you want to cross the border, you have to prove who you are. You have a passport. And in that passport, there's all types of information in there for your identification. There's a picture, your date of birth, all that, your name, all that information. That's your legal identification is your passport. If the police officer pulls you over because you're speeding or doing whatever, and he asks for your driver's license and your registration, well, on that is your identification. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be going around today with our spiritual identification. And you know what that spiritual identification card is? It's called the Word of God. And we have to get into the Word of God to see who we are in Christ. You know, it's all right for me to be up here and tell you a little bit about it for 40 minutes or whatever. But it's another thing for us to get into it, because we have to get into the Word of God to really see who we are, what belongs to us. You are blessed. You are healed. You are set free. You are forgiven. That's who we are. Don't take my word for it. Get in the Word and see what it says. I've given you lots of scripture tonight to make you dangerous. But you need to get in there. Your identification card is in the Word, the Bible. And your identification, who you really are, is in Christ. Now, there's so many other avenues on this conversation we can have, and that's for a later date. But, it's kind of exciting to know that, you know, who I am is not dictated by the surroundings around me or by what other people think about me, what the world is saying, what the devil's trying to remind me. My identification and who I am comes from God. Amen? Amen. Well, if you're watching online tonight and be like, well, Pastor Steve, you're absolutely nuts, but you said something pretty good there. And, you know, you've struggled with your identification. The old devil's been trying to mess you up and get you off your A game and trying to make you feel worthless and garbage and you're not good enough. And especially this time, you know, this crazy COVID stuff that's going on, it's so easy to feel down and, you know, the devil talking to you and trying to mess you up and feel like, make you feel inferior and helpless and hopeless. Well, if you've been feeling like that, let me tell you something right now. That's not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are blessed. You are the head and not the tail. Scripture says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It also tells us that we are the part of the body of Christ. That's who we are. You are a part of God. God's a part of you. And if you're there and you've struggled with these things, I'm going to pray, and you can repeat after me. We're going to pray this together. And we're going to commit ourselves over to Christ tonight. We're going to make sure that we're on track on what we need to be thinking and talking about. We're going to rededicate ourselves. Amen? All right, you repeat after me. Say, Jesus, tonight I give myself over to you. Lord, I want to be a part of you. And I want you a part of me. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you set me free, that you took away my sin, and that you give me salvation. Tonight, Lord, I choose to follow you. I thank you for the benefits, the blessings, and the identification that I have in you.